The chapter 2. And while you're finding that, let's just pray over the offering this morning and thank God for His provision. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You that You have met all of our needs. There's nothing, Lord, that we have want of that You haven't provided. We want to thank You, God, for Your mercy. We want to thank You, Lord. We don't deserve Your goodness, Lord, but You give it to us anyway. And we're so grateful, Lord. We thank You for everything that You've done for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Has God been good to you? Hallelujah. What's interesting this morning is on my heart, as I was praying about this morning, I have a message for you. All those are watching and those are here in the room, glory to God, I have a message for you. Now, all of our ladies are on women's retreat and they're having a great time, I'm sure. But we're here this morning, and I believe God has a message. Hallelujah. Listen to this. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, You, therefore, my son. This is Paul talking not to his biological son, but his spiritual son. He's saying, I brought you up in the faith. I've taught you. I've discipled you. You've listened to me speak before. But Timothy is now on his own, and he was set into a church, and he was there. He was a younger guy that was talking to older people, and you know, dealing with people can be hard. Dealing with people can be hard, right? And the more people, the harder it is. Hallelujah. I have a hard time dealing with myself, you know, let alone other people. But he's going to go on and talk about that a little bit, but I think it has pertinence to us today because what I want to talk about this morning is vital to us. Again, let's look at this. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? That means be up on it. I mean, just get your strength from the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And what is His grace? What does that mean? Of course, it's the grace to be saved. Aren't you glad for that? But it's the grace for everything that you do. In other words, God's gifted me with natural abilities, but also with spiritual abilities, but it was by His hand that He gave them to me. So I'm graced with it. And what is it about grace? It's grace is on the part of the beholder. They do it because they want to do it. They want to make you feel special. We use the term oftentimes, she's such a gracious hostess. And what that means is when you go into her house, you feel welcomed. You feel like, you know, you belong there. And that's God's message to you, that His grace says, you're welcome in my presence. You're welcome in what I want you to do. But watch this, in His grace is also the ability to do what He asks us to do. So He's going to go on to talk about some things, but He says the basis of you being able to do what I'm telling you to do is the grace that God's given you, and you've got to be strong in that. Why? Because sometimes our own strength isn't enough. Sometimes we want to give up. Sometimes you probably have never said this, but I have. I can't do this. I can't do this. This is too much for me. I can't do this. That's when you've got to be strong in the grace of God. It's like, Lord, I know You're with me. Like what the song was just saying. You know, I know that I know that You'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. See, there's something about being strong in the grace, but there's also having the foundation, watch this, having the foundation of the Word of God or the principles of God, having that foundation so that you can go back to that, right? It's the basics of the faith sometimes that we need to go back to. And in other words, not worrying about when Jesus is coming. That's important. Not worrying about, you know, when the rapture is happening, whether it's not worrying about that, but go back to the basics of Jesus loves me, this I know. Going back to the basics is everybody's a sinner and everybody's in the same boat. Right? The basics are everybody needs a Savior. Jesus is that Savior. the basics of I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and that's why I'm saved. That's why going back to the basics of what he's been taught. And Paul's saying you got to lean on that. You got to go into that because you're going to need that. In the military, which I was not a part of, but I've seen enough movies and talked to enough people that are in it, in basic training, and even, you know, while they're not in the wartime, they're drilling all the time. Drilling, and the same thing over and over and over and over again. They have to take their rifles apart, put them back together in the dark, in the rain, wherever. But over and over again, they're handling that machine. Why? Because when the trouble comes, they need to know how to do it without thinking about it. And us, in the Word of God, we need to know some truths right away. Right away. One of those truths that I've lived my life by for all of these years, when God revealed it to me, is that the thief comes not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. So to me, that's the line of demarcation. If it kills, steals, or destroys, it's from the enemy. But if it brings life, it's from God. And again, another one is that he revealed himself to me as the Father. And he said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who love him, right? Whom he loves and called. But watch this. What's the principle there? The principle is I have to come back to those things that I know when things get tough. Hallelujah. Look at verse 3. And this is really what I want to speak on this morning. It says, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You must, ever say must, endure. In other words, you're going to have it. You're going to have it. You're going to have hardship. If you're working for Jesus, if you're living for Jesus, there is going to be hardship. And what do you have to do in the hardship? You have to endure it. What does that mean? You got to go through it. You got to go through it. And you have to go through it based on the grace of God and based on what you know of Jesus. You have to go through it. You see, because everybody might leave you, but he won't. Right? Everybody might flee from you, but he won't. You have to endure as a good soldier. And we're going to talk about a soldier for a little bit. Again, a soldier is one who is no longer under the command of their own decisions. A soldier is one who's placed themselves under the authority of the chain of command. Jesus was a soldier for God, and he said, Lord, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this, but nevertheless, at thy will. Right? And so a soldier is at the will of that the person that's in command over him. So it's very important that we get this. Therefore, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You're not my soldier, you're his soldier. Right? But being his soldier, you must endure hardship. If he says to go and you don't like it because it's not pleasant, you go anyway because you're a soldier. Remember when the centurion came to Jesus and he said, man, you got this situation going on at home. And Jesus said, well, I'll come. He said, no, you don't have to come. I'm a man of authority. I'm under authority and I have people under me. And when I say, he didn't say it this way, but it's my translation. When I say jump, they ask how high. So I know the authority that's in the structure of being under him. Why is this so important? And when we say in the name of Jesus to the devil, he's got to go how high? You know, how high do you want me to jump? How far do you want me to flee? Where do you want me to go? Glory to God. But we have to endure hardship as a good soldier. In other words, I'm going to go through this no matter what it costs me. Come on, I'm going to go through this no matter what it costs me. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. How many know that Christianity is a war? How many know that if you're going to get saved and you're going to walk in that salvation, you're going to have a fight. Right? I wish it were so you get saved and all of your problems are over. For the rest of your life, you'll never have another problem. You just you know, that's not the way it is. Right? There's going to be a day that that's the truth, but it's not now. Look at verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Do you not know that those who run a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Very, very interesting analogy. And my last name is Dugan, and we don't run very well, but I have run in some races. And it's interesting to me that when you run, you have to push yourself. And if you really want to win, you have to push yourself. And I'm thinking of a marathon and running for a long period of time. There are times when your legs are cramping up and you're becoming a little bit dehydrated, but you have to push yourself past that. You have to push yourself beyond your limits or ability. Again, I had a friend of mine who was in the military, and he came back from boot camp. And he was older when he went in, but he said, they push you to where you can do more than you think you can. They push you to go beyond your limitations as based on what you think. They push you further than you think you should go. Good coaches do that. Good, you know, leaders do that. But we have to run in such a way that we're running to win the prize. In other words, I'm not listening to my pain. I'm not listening to other people's advice. All I have is the finish line in mind. And I'm not going to be second place. Whatever it takes, I'm going to get push past that. This is a competition with me and the enemy trying to take me out. I'm going for that prize no matter what. Right? Paul said it this way when he was talking. He said, listen, I've finished my course. I've run my race. I made it. I'm at the end. But he wasn't saying that in defeat. He was saying that in victory. Even though he endured a lot of stuff. Even though he's in prison when he said it. Even though he knew he was going to die at a merciless death. Even though he knew that, he said, man, I've finished my course. I've run my race. I'm excited about seeing him. See, we have to look at this, and life is that I'm running a race, and that race is going to take me. It might take me some time. It might cause pain. It might be something that I don't really enjoy at the moment. But glory to God. Let me just give you another analogy because I think it fits. I've gone on hikes up in the mountains, right? And some of those hikes are incredible because it's like switchbacks going up a hill. And all you see in front of you is that next switchback. And then you go, oh man, I've done 50 of these. We've got to be getting close to the top. But then you come to a plateau and then more switchbacks, right? And you keep going. You go, oh my God, I don't want to go another step. I don't want to, my legs are hurting. I got too much weight in this backpack. And I'm just so tired. But then you go across and you come to the top of the mountain and you come over the top and into this valley where there's just a beautiful alpine lake that's just beyond anything that you've ever seen before. But you endured the climb to get to the prize. Right? And so we have to run our race. It's like, if I start the hike, I'm going to finish the hike. Are you listening to what I'm saying? If I start what God's told me to do, I'm going to finish what God told me to do. And I'm not going to quit until I peak, until I go over the top. Right? I'm going to run the race, baby. I'm running the race. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to run it to win it. I'm in it. I'm in it for the long time. If I have to crawl across that finish line, that's what I'm going to do. Are you with me? Verse 25, it says, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. Temperate in all things. That means that they restrict themselves to some of the things that they want to do because they have a goal in mind, right? I'm not going to do this, but if I were to say, listen, I'm going to climb Mount Rainier. Okay. Then I've got to start training to climb Mount Rainier. And I may not want to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, put on a backpack and walk up and down the hill for a couple of miles every morning. But if I want to get the prize, then I have to endure what it takes to be able to accomplish it. See what I'm saying? So I might have to disciple or discipline myself in a way that I get what I'm after. And again, endurance takes discipline. Endurance takes focus. You have to focus on the prize, and then you have to go through whatever you're going to have to go through to get the prize. But getting the prize might cost you some friends. Getting the prize might cost you some of the things that you like to do. Getting the prize might say, listen, that's a good thing, and there's nothing wrong with that, but that's not for me because I'm headed for the prize. I remember reading after a CEO of a large company, and he said this. He said, the higher that you get, the less choices that you have. And what he's saying there is the more you go, the less you have options because you're the last one. I can't say, well, what do you think? I'm the one, right? I mean, I'm the one that has to make the decision. And so if we're going to be a CEO of our life and we're going to go for Jesus, we have to be temperate in all things. I want to get mad. I want to scream. I want to yell. I want to get back at them. I want revenge. Well, you have to temper that, because that won't get you to the prize. Verse 26 says, therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, as one who beats the air. Not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest that I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. What's he saying? I've had to do things that I didn't want to do. I've had to do things that my body and my mind were telling me, don't do that. Don't love that person after what they did to you. Don't do that. Don't keep pushing on. You're too old. You're too young. You're too this. You're too that. It's too late. You have to push on in the midst of all of that because you're running to get the prize. And what is our prize? Here's the prize. Paul said it this way. I press on for the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Right? What's the prize? The prize is the will of God. The prize is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's the prize. That's the prize. But we got to keep our eyes on that prize and focus on that prize and live our lives like that's what we're going for. Why? Because that keeps us from getting sidetracked. That keeps us from letting somebody else be the stumbling block to us. That keeps us from letting the devil lie to us. That keeps us from stopping when we want to stop or when we feel like stopping. We're going, no, I don't want to climb one. I'm not doing another switchback. No, no, no. And you speak to yourself and say, shut up. Because I'm going through. So this is Paul talking about himself, but then we go back to 2 Timothy because all of a sudden Paul is talking to his son and encouraging him, not from a standpoint that this is what you ought to do, more from a standpoint, this is what I've done, and I need you to follow my example. Right? This is what I've done. This is how I've got through. It's like some people want, man, I wish I had the miracle working ministry that Smith Wigglesworth had. He's a great one, right? I mean, he was the guy that, you know, he went to a sick person's house that was dying, and they actually died, and he knew he was sent there by God, and so he grabbed the guy, and he threw him up against the wall and said, live. People around him grabbed him again. Threw him up against the wall. I said, live in Jesus' name. And you know, people were going, what's he doing? That's my dad. That's my husband. That's my, what, he's dead. What's this man doing? Threw him up seven times. Seven times he did that. Seven times. And yet he lived. There was a woman that came to one of his meetings and she had a big old cancerous growth in her stomach. So he went up to her and he punched her as hard as he could in the belly. Well, that's going to get some people upset with you. And she was a little upset. Some of the men of the group were upset, ready to go after him. But they didn't that day. And the next day, the woman came back. And she was totally healed. There was no more cancerous growth. There was no more tumor. There was no more growth. Come on. But here's what we want. We want, all want that kind of ministry. But are we willing to do what he did in order to have a relationship with God so where God could speak to him so he could know what to do, when to do, how to do? Because he was a man who was in the Word constantly. If he wasn't in the Word, he was in prayer. And if he wasn't in the prayer, he was in the Word. Right? And Lester Summerall tells about how that he went to his house when he was a young man and Smith Wigglesworth was older, and he knocked on the door, and Smith, Lester Summerall had come from London and was on the train, and so he had a newspaper in his hand. And he's going to walk into Smith Wigglesworth's house, and he said, "What's that under your arm, boy?" I mean, he didn't say boy, but "What's that under your arm?" "Well, it's a newspaper. It doesn't come into my house. It doesn't come into my house." What's he saying? I don't want any interference from hearing God's word. I don't want anybody else's opinion. Now, I'm not saying that you have to live your life like that, but what I'm saying is if you want the prize, sometimes we have to endure things we don't want to do in order to get the prize. Right? How many want to know him more? We sang about, "I want to know you. I want to hear your voice." Well, that's available to all of us. And God wants to speak to us more than we want to hear. But we have to put away the distractions. And we have to pursue it like we really want it. Did you know that Jesus said this? He said, "If you seek me, you'll find me." I just can't hear from God. Well, that's speaking to me that there's not any problem with him being found. There may be a problem with you seeking. And watch this. If you are willing to seek him at the cost of everything else, you'll find him. Jesus had some parables that you just kind of go, what's that all about? Talked about this woman that she found this pearl. And so she sold everything else to find that pearl, to get that pearl, right? Why? Because the pearl was more important than anything else. When our seeking becomes more important than everything else, we'll find him. But we have to start living our lives on purpose. I'm not just living my life to get through my life so that I can die someday and go to heaven. I'm living my life with purpose, and that purpose is to find out what his purpose for me is and walk in it. But I'm going to run. Paul, I love this, Paul's description when he said, "Man, I don't fight like I'm beating the air. I'm on purpose." Another version says, "I beat my body into subjection." I beat my body. What's that? His spirit, the real him, is telling his body and his mind what he should think and what he should do. We've got to put our spirits in charge. Back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. So in verse 3 again, he said, You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may be please him who has enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Now, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say. May the Lord give you understanding on all things. Remember that Jesus Christ is the seed of David, which was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things. Paul said, listen, I was commissioned to preach the gospel. I was commissioned to give the word of God. I was commissioned to take the gospel to the Gentiles and say, listen, there's no longer a dividing wall between the Jew and the Gentile because Jesus ripped the curtain down and all are welcomed in. The only requirement is that he becomes your Lord and Savior. He wasn't liked for that. Why? Because he was saying, Jesus is the only way. The Greeks didn't like that too much. In fact, in Ephesus, the goddess Diana was there. The people got so upset with him because he was converting people from that and they were losing money. But he endured that, right? He went back to the Jews and preached the gospel and it got him killed, right? They didn't like it. The Jews didn't like it. The Gentiles didn't like it. But he knew the revelation. He was going to do what God called him to do, no matter who liked it or didn't like it. And again, I don't think we need to be just arrogant about that and just walk in like, I don't care what you think, bless God. But we do have to have that attitude when we know that we know that we know that God has called us to do something. Think about this for a minute, just for a minute. You have to endure when you know that God has called you to do something and you're doing it, but it doesn't seem to be succeeding. When it doesn't seem to be working. It's like, oh God. Reminds me of the story, and you've heard me tell it before, but there was a missionary couple, and they went to South Seas Island somewhere, and they were translating the Bible into their native language, and they had to learn that and then translate that, and they were there for 30 years without one convert. 30 years, but they translated the Bible into the native language on this island. And so it was about a week before they were due to come home. And back in those days, you know, you were shipped over with a few bit of luggage. You were there for a long time and then you shipped back. So they were going back to basically retire and die. And if you were looking at it, you'd go, boy, that was a failure. But they endured everything that they needed to endure for 30 years because they knew God sent them there. So about a week before that they were on their way back, there was one man who came and he gave his heart to Jesus. One man, 30 years, endured all of that for one man. Well, it just so happened that one man was the son of the chief. And the son of the chief took the Bible that they translated and the whole tribe was saved. See, but there was some endurance that had to happen. They had to keep going even when it seemed like they were complete failures. I'm sure they went home on the ship. And, if they went to a convention of missionaries all over the world, they'd hear about this person that was in this place, and they had thousands of people saved, and they had schools all over. And man, there was just flourished, and they're coming back. We got one. You see, our endurance must be such that we know what God's asked us to do, and then no matter what the results are, we're going to do it anyway. And we're going to continue to do it even when it seems like nothing's happening, it's not working. Unless God speaks to us differently, we have to keep enduring. We have to keep pushing forward. I've said that often, that God knows my address. If He wants me to do something different, He'll tell me. But until He tells me, I'm going to keep doing what I've been doing. I'm not saying that I can't grow. I'm not saying that I can't change in the way I do things. I'm not saying that there's not wisdom and all of that. But what I'm saying is, I believe that God told me to do what I'm doing, and so therefore, I'm going to endure whatever it takes. And sometimes, it takes a lot. But not so much that I went to the cross. Not so much that I, you know, endured that shame, right? Verse 10 again, it says, therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. But if we deny Him, He will also deny us. If we are faithless, He will remain faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. One of the reasons that I'm bringing this message today, and it's on my heart so much, is that I see in the world, and especially in the church world, where a lot of people are fleeing. A lot of people are running away. A lot of people are transitioning out. Well, I believe that they're deceived. I believe that they don't understand. They're using church hurt to be an excuse for fleeing the Word of God. And we can't be that. We have to endure that. Even if it's not popular, even if other people are saying things that go against what we know to be the Word of God, then we've got to keep enduring. We've got to keep preaching. We've got to keep going. We can't compromise the truth. Right? I'm not against anybody. But if your views are contrary to the Word of God, it's not me judging you. It's just saying that you're wrong. Because the Word is right. And if I'm going to finish my race strong, I have to be convinced that this is the truth. Because if this is no longer the truth, then throw everything away. I've run into people who have said, and they said, well, I'm just following Jesus. I'm only doing what Jesus did. And Jesus didn't do this, and He didn't say anything about this, and He didn't say anything about that, and He didn't say it. So I'm just going to follow the what they're saying is, I'm going to follow the Word that I want to. And what I don't want, what I don't like, that I'm not going to follow. Well, Jesus loved everybody. He did. But He wasn't kind to everybody. He told the Pharisees a few things. He called them dogs. He said, you're of your father, the devil. Was that unloving? No, it wasn't unloving. It was the truth. And He was trying to get them shocked into the place where they'd accept Him because they needed Him. Right? But we have to be such that we're in this for the long haul. We're in this till the end. We're in this if it costs us everything. Right? There are people all over the world that are in jail because of this. There are people who are having their heads cut off because of this. But we have to be the place where right now, even when it's good, that we've made a stand that we're going to endure till the end. That we're not going to stop. We're not going to compromise. God, I'm going to keep seeking You and asking You if I need to change, but I refuse to. Look at chapter 4 of the same book, same epistle. He's talking, this is his protege, this is his son in the faith, this is Timothy, who's talking as a leader to another leader, to a younger leader. He said, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. How? By preaching the word. It's not my opinion, it's the Word. If I'm saying the Bible says this and the Bible says that, and I'm backing it up with Scripture, then I got to keep saying that, even if you don't like that. Preach the Word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So what we have to ask ourselves, are we going to endure sound doctrine? Are we going to endure? Are we going to stay with sound doctrine no matter what somebody else thinks or, you know, says or whatever pressure is put on you? I don't really mind if people leave the church for the church's sake, but if they're leaving the church for the Word's sake, that's a completely different story. And I'm convinced that most people today who are leaving the church and doing their own thing with Jesus are not enduring sound doctrine. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Look at this. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist, fulfilling your ministry. So we've got to be able to watch what's going on, listen to our spirit, know the Word of God, and keep walking in what God's called us to walk. Right? I can love everybody, and I do, but I don't have to agree with everybody. Right? Here's the Word, 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 here's the Word. Here is the Word. Sound doctrines. Hallelujah. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And let's start out in verse 36. It says, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." That's a quote. Listen, we have to endure till the end. I don't want to quit. Think of the person that says, "You know what? I've gone up this trail as much as I want to. I'm walking back down." And he's 20 feet from the ridge. Right? If he had just endured a little bit more, he would have seen what he went through all that pain for. But because he didn't endure, he didn't get the prize. What's the prize? The prize is being with him forever and ever and ever and ever. What am I saying to you this morning? It might get tough, but keep going. It might be wrong. It might be rough, but just keep going. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. He doesn't change because the culture changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. And I'm not judging. What I'm doing is I'm trying to prepare you that it's going to not get better if I'm reading the end times right. It's going to get worse. And there's going to be more pressure for you to flee and to run. But what I'm saying is endure. What I'm saying is endure. Go to chapter 12 of Hebrews. Chapter 12. It says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." And you know what he was referring to, that cloud of witnesses? And we sometimes people have depicted that, and it could be, I don't know, depicted as there's this rail up in heaven, and all the saints are up there looking down, and no, that's not what it's talking about. It's saying the example of the people that we've just written about in chapter 11, about Abraham and about Isaac, about Jacob, about Enoch, about all of those people, there are cloud of witnesses. If they could do it, you can do it. Right? If they did it, you can do it. If, come on. If they did it, you can do it. But do it. Do it. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Your race is not my race. I've come to know that, but your race is not my race. So my race is probably a little different than yours. I've got to run it a little bit differently. I'm gifted to do things differently than you do them. But I've got to be comfortable in my lane and run my race. And I need to find out from the Master what my race is. But once I've found out, once He's spoken to me, I've got to continue to do it and do it and do it and do it and do it. Even if it looks different than your race. Right? I can't compare my race to your race. It's got to be different. Because He's different. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith, for who the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God, the throne of God. We have to endure with Him as our focal point. Y'all get something this morning. Come on. You may be discouraged. You may be going through things. You may not like the situations that you're in, but keep enduring. Keep going. Don't stop. Don't quit. In Mark chapter 4, where it's talking about the parable of the sower, he talks about that some people, they get choked out because of the cares of this world, because of things that are going on, because, I'm going to say it in my terms, they get choked out because life is dealing with them some hard things. Right? Could be our kids, could be our finances, could be our health, could be anything that is trying to choke out the very thing that we know, and we've got to come back to it and say, no, it doesn't matter what happens to me. It doesn't matter if I die. It doesn't matter if everybody that I know runs away from the Word. I'm running to it. I'm going to endure. If nobody else goes, I'm going. And that's not to say I'm better than anybody else, but I'm just focused to win the prize. Yeah, that's right, Zach. He ran to the giant. And we need to start running. We need to start running. I'll close with this. Go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Now, I want you to hear this. When a preacher preaches, if they're preaching with one finger, right, that means that at least three are coming back at them, right? And usually when God puts something on my heart, it's because He's preaching it to me first. Everything I've said to you this morning is applicable to me and where I am. And the good news about that is that we're all in the same boat, rowing in the same direction for the same purpose, and that's to fulfill the will of Him who called us. Amen? Verse 7 says, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. I believe He's coming soon. I truly believe He's coming soon. And not only that, do I think He's coming back for His church, and I want you to be ready, I want to be ready, but I know that at any time I could go home to be with Him. Right? I mean, over the last several years, man, I was thinking about it yesterday. He's gone, she's gone, that's gone, that, and it's like, it's unreal to me. But yet, it's the way of the life, right? So I need to know that I could be with him at any point, at any time. He could come at any time, and I could be right in the position where, Lord, I want to be ready. There was a series years ago that was called Left Behind. I don't want to be one that's left behind. But I need to run my race with endurance, and so do you. Amen? Did you get something this morning? Come on. I want you to endure. I want you to be there with me. I want us egging each other on. I'll just one story and I'll close. I saw this video clip, and it was a military clip, and there was this gal that had on his backpack, and she was running to get to the end, right? And she had to cross this line. It was after miles and miles, and I don't know how many miles, but she's like from here to the wall, and she fell down. Well, she had to do it on her own. But here are all of these other people that were with her in her unit are right beside her. Come on, get up. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Come on. You can do it. Don't stop now. You got it. It's only a little ways longer. I'll be right here with you. I'm going to. Come on. You can do it. And she got up and she stumbled and she made it to the end. She crossed the line. And that's what we need to be for each other. Come on, don't give up. Don't quit. Don't quit. Jesus still loves you. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wants you to know that even though you're going through a hard time, even though it doesn't seem like it's working, even though it's not, going according to your plan, keep going, because He's with you. He's for you. He's put that on your heart to do. Don't stumble. Don't quit. Keep going, because it may not be the way you thought it would be, but it could be just one that wins his tribe. Amen? So keep going. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, Lord, that we will endure. With your help, with your blessing, with your strength, by your grace, Lord, we'll continue to go till the end. And I want to boldly and honestly declare to all those who are watching, Jesus is Lord. And if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Because there is a heaven to gain, but there's a hell to shun. Hell is for all the people who reject the very price that was given to them for their salvation. Don't reject Jesus. Understand that all of us fall short. None of us are worthy of heaven. That's why we need Him. That's why you need Him. Go to Him. Seek Him. Listen, even if you're going, God, if there is a God, if you'll truthfully go to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need to know that you're real, He'll reveal Himself to you. I promise you. Father, in Jesus' name, just bless all those who are watching. If there's any needs that they have spiritually, mentally, financially, physically, God, I just ask you to meet them right now in Jesus' name. Lord, with that person that's hurting in their back right now, I just ask for your anointing to flow into that back and cause a healing to come in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for all of those who are watching in Jesus' name. Lord, bless the women's retreat as they're finishing up. God, may they all get exactly what they came for in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah.